Welcome to Nail Tech Entrepreneur.
Okay, in this episode, I interview Chris Miles. Some of the things we talk about are setting your prices and why you don't want to be the cheapest, and something that I never thought about when it comes to the nail industry. This tip was so good. Another thing we talk about is paying yourself. Are you guys doing it? Are you paying yourself a paycheck? Or are you not really following what your money is doing? We talk about that. So listen ahead. We also talk a lot about having debt and some good things to do when considering paying down debt, and lots of other things we dive into in this episode. And you are going to want to get to know my friend Chris. So Chris Miles is a cash flow expert, and he calls himself an anti-financial advisor. He is the leading authority teaching entrepreneurs and professionals how to get their money working for them today. He is an author, podcast host of the Chris Miles Money Show, has been featured in US News, CNN Money, Entrepreneur on Fire, Bigger Pockets, and he has a proven reputation with his company called Money Ripples, getting his clients fast financial results. In fact, his personal clients have increased their cash flow by over $250 million in the last 11 years. You guys, I love surrounding myself with awesome entrepreneur experts like Chris, and you guys are gonna love him too. He is so fun. Maybe we'll talk about this. I don't think we talk about this in this episode, but little known fact, Chris is an expert ballroom dance, professional ballroom dancer, something he did in his career. So he has a mom who's an artist. He comes from that mentality of, he knows what it's like to be an artist and be a creative. So you are going to just love him. He's such a fun person and makes talking about money so much fun. So let's dive into the episode. All right, so here we are. We're here with Chris Miles, and we're so excited to talk about money today. We are talking about so many fun different topics, and I am excited to dive into like the mindset behind like how we get tripped up with money as nail techs, as beauty professionals in this industry, and really uncover some things that are holding us back and not letting us thrive and really like be the creative artist, because we're stuck and bogged down in our money, like drama stuff, and in our problems and things that are like keeping us from being that, just functioning in our careers the way we would love it to be. So first thing I want to ask you, Chris, is what do you love the most about money?
I like when it's there. That's for sure. You know, that's the great thing. I think money is the biggest thing I think about it is it's a magnifier of the soul, right? Hmm. It doesn't change you at all. It just makes you more of who you already are. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you watch those superhero movies, you know, and they say like, oh, they got that serum. It just accentuated more of who they were, whether they were prideful or evil or good or whatever. Right. And money's no different. Like money just is a magnifier of your soul, you know, and the more you have of it, the more you can create and the bigger impact you can make. And definitely, I'll tell you from my own personal experience, the more freedom you have, the more that it really just opens up for you to be a better servant for other people too.
That is so good. I love that. I think a lot of times in our industry, we get kind of like, I'm kind of like confused on my screen. If it's not going back and forth, that's fine. Like where we want to buy all this product, we want to like have all the cool new like nail art supplies, all the things that help us to be on top of the trends and doing all these things with money. But sometimes we're like, I can't afford that. I'm so stuck with not being able to do this. And then you can't be your best self as an artist or anything that you're working on. And then it kind of takes away from that passion that we all like have as we're doing all the fun things. Mm-hmm. So let's dive into some of your tips and advice on money, and you can take this wherever you want to. I know I was giving you some of the questions that were coming in from people in my industry. So what is your overarching like big chunk of advice, and then we'll go into some of the specific questions that we have.
Yeah, you know, overarching, I would just say this is that the real path to freedom is cash flow, right? Like cash flow creates more options, and then that creates freedom. And what I mean by that is, like, for example, when you have income coming in, right? When you have income here and expenses are here, it feels great. When it's flip-flopped, when expenses are up here and your income's down here, this stinks, right? So it's like, yay, boo. You know, like you always want this here. And this difference in between is what I call cash flow, right? Some people call it profit in business, you know. I call it cash flow because there's a lot of different ways it can show up even outside of your business that can actually free up and increase your impact, you know, and what you're doing in your business. I mean, increases your ability to serve more people and to really just create more, you know, to really be that blessing in people's lives. And I'll tell you, I wasn't always that way. You know, like I was raised just like everybody else, very lower to lower middle class type of family. You know, my dad was like one extreme where he was the ultra saver, like never get into debt, save everything. Although he smoked and he blew money in different stupid stuff, but he was all about save your money, work for the same company for 5 billion years. And then, you know, someday you might be happy. And he always was the kind of guy that thought he would work until he died. Like literally he thought he would die working, you know? And I was like, well, I don't want that life. And then my mom was the opposite extreme. She was an artist. She was a professional oil painter, right? So she was like, if you ever seen Bob Ross paint the Happy Little Clouds and things like that, my mom was actually trained by the same master painter that trained Bob Ross. And so she came from that side and she was more entrepreneurial, but she also had that limiting scarcity belief that, that really it's that she'd be a starving artist her whole life. And then eventually her artwork would be worth something after she dies, not while she's alive. Right. And so that's what I was raised with basically these two very, very different parents, both of them living in a world of scarcity. And the truth is, if you want to be free, you got to first come from a place of abundance, right? You got to learn that there's more than enough money out there. There's more than enough ways to get everything you want, happiness. There's more than enough time. There's more than enough potential clientele that you have coming in. You have more than enough of everything in an abundant world.
I love that so much. And it just makes me think of how a lot of times I see people in our industry like get really tunnel focused when they come out of school, like, okay, now I'm in nail tech and now this is my job and this is the only way I'm allowing money to come to me. So I want to talk about cash flow, but I just feel like people get so stuck in that of like, this is how I'm making money. And if I go get a job at a dentist office or if I go get a job doing this side thing, then I'm a sellout and I'm not a nail artist only, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. Or like whatever beauty profession they're in. And so I want to talk about that cash flow thing because I think people like don't allow for that. Like they're putting up that wall. Like you talked about abundance. Like they're just like, nope. This is the only way it can come is from a friend being in my chair and handing me the cash. So talk
to me. It's interesting how scarcity plays their head, right? I mean, I would say that's the number one deterrent from making more money in people's lives. It's not the strategy. It's not about the budgets. It's not about, you know, if you even have a budget, right? Like that's not even necessary in some cases. You know, but it's not about all those disciplines. I mean, those help, but if you don't have that foundational core, right, that good, abundant soil to plant that seed in, the money won't grow. If you stay in scarcity, even when you have more of it, you won't feel like you have anything. You know, that's what happened with my dad. He never felt like he had enough, right? It was always never enough. You know, I've just yesterday, my wife and I were talking. She's from Venezuela, right? And if you've heard of Venezuela, I mean, they've gone down the crapper, to put it lightly, right? Like, I mean, they basically went socialist, kind of like our country's heading right now. They used to be like us up until about the 80s, and then things flip-flopped, right? Well, now, like, there's plenty of people starving on the streets. You know, they're having a hard time. And it was interesting. She was reading a story about a guy who went into school to be an engineer, and he was going to work for the government, but working for the government only made him a dollar a day. So he was like, what do I do to be able to feed my family? Well, he found out that he actually used some of his engineering skills to bake bread, right? And he made really, really good bread to the point where he started making $120 a day, right? Instead of one. And the crazy thing is that despite that, he's like, yeah, I really wish I'd use my degree for something because that's really my dream is if I could use my engineering degree, not realizing that he actually already had been using it, right? But it wasn't what he saw in his mind. Like it had to be that job. Not realizing he was prospering doing something different that was still using his gifts and abilities, right? So yeah, you gotta watch out for that scarcity monster because it will just drive money away from you.
Yeah, it's funny how we get so stuck and wrapped up in that in our minds and then it keeps us trapped. It gets us trapped in this cycle. So yeah. Let's go to a couple like ways that we can have some cash flow coming in. Like
yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, I mentioned this, like, I don't like the word budget, right? I call it the B word, but it's even worse. It's like one letter more than the B word, you know? So it's way worse. It's the worst name to call the budget. I like spending plan, right? Because money is meant to be used. If you understand from a place of abundance that money is meant to be used, that money is meant to be exchanged with other people, right? And services, just like you do with your services, that flow of exchange creates more wealth for everybody. So the more we exchange and the more we use money, the better it is. Now, I don't mean just spend, and you're always quote unquote reinvesting in your business, because if you always reinvest your business, you're really just spending money, right? And if it doesn't always come back and you get caught in this rat race within your own business, even if you make good money. And I've known people that have multi-million dollar businesses that still are trapped in their business because they keep spending money inside their business, right? You want that money to come home. You want some extra surplus.
That's so true. I don't want to derail you, but so remember your thought. But I get stuck in that too myself, as going back and forth of like just reinvesting instead of like actually paying myself. Like, mm-hmm. Who would have thought to pay yourself something? And that was one of the questions that came in from our listeners.
Yeah. A great book to read about that topic, if you want to go down that rabbit hole at some point, or more if that's for your situation, I would say go get the book called Profit First by the author Mike Michalowicz. He talks a lot about that. And I love his philosophy, because his thing is you should actually build your expenses around what you're making, right? So he says, pay yourself what you want to have home. That is, so most people just do the typical business thing of, you know, your revenue, your business income minus your expenses equals whatever you bring home, right? Mm-hmm. He flips it around. He says, no, you say whatever I want to bring home, you know, minus the income I'm making equals my expenses, right? That's the expenses I can spend. So it's like, once you get past that, you can't do it. You know, now I get it, because as a business owner, you might have up and down months and it might be all over the place, right? But that's the key thing, is that really focusing on what's going to pay me first, because you got to be, I mean, you're the owner. You should be the number one employee, right? Like, you should be paid first. And then from there, figure out what expenses you can spend. But to know that, you got to track your money. So that's always the first step. So I would say number one is track your money, both in your business and at home, you know? And I don't mean just track what you spend, because that's what savers do all the time. Just so you know, savers are in scarcity, right? They're just as much scarcity as spenders are, because savers can never save enough. They can never pay off their debt fast enough. They always feel guilty about spending money. If you find yourself in that camp, you're a saver and you're in scarcity. If you're a spender where it's like easy come, easy go, and you kind of, you want to ignore what you're spending because you just, you have to keep making money. So you keep producing just to be able to pay for stuff. You're a spender. You're also in scarcity. Neither one has freedom. In the middle, where you want to be is a steward. Stewards look at both income and expenses, and they see it as a good thing. They're like, hey, I want to see the money coming in. I want to see that full flow and the money going out. Just like everything, whatever flows brings life. Water flows, it brings life. Blood flows, it brings life. And same with the money. If you get it the full flow, it brings life. So track money in your business. I use, you know, systems like QuickBooks, you know, to help track money in my business. I mean, you could use something that's like a spreadsheet if it's really easy. For personal, I use Mint. Now, you can use whatever works for you, but I like Mint because, just like QuickBooks, you put the information in there, it remembers what you put it as. So if it's an expense that you're spending like at a gas station, it remembers it's gas. You don't have to put it in again, and you don't have to do all the math, which I love, right? Because I hate having to be like the one putting in the calculator like you used to do in the old days. Then I'm like, ah, crap. Like, what number was it just on? Ugh, delete, start over, you know?
So that one's called Mint is what you're talking about.
Mint, I think like double your pleasure, double your fun with extra double mint gum. Yeah, that kind of Mint.
That would be a great resource, because I've been using spreadsheets and stuff and I haven't really gotten anything onto anything like Mint before, but I've heard it.
Yeah. Too. I like to be ambitiously lazy, right? I like to work hard so I can play hard, right? And work short, you know? So for me, Mint's been good. Some people like it, some people don't. Depends on your style. But that's the one I used, and I still use today for like over the last 10 years now, you know? But my wife uses a spreadsheet and she still likes to add up all the little things. And I'm like, ugh, that's a headache. You know, like, I don't want to add up stuff. Like, I want it to do it for me, you know?
But some people love that. Some people like to be like way into numbers. I feel like more than not, like in the nail industry or in the art, or the artistic type of mindset of people. Like, we're like, I don't want to know about math. I don't want to think about math. Mm-hmm. Just like la, 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 is how I say it.
Yeah.
And a lot of us are coming from like working a regular job, maybe at a clothing store like I did before I started in this career in 2006. And then you're all of a sudden an entrepreneur because you're renting a
yeah.
school and you just kind of don't know. Like you need the education, and what something yeah. I'm talking about bringing on here is like people that have this kind of knowledge of like, okay, now you gotta like have a spending plan, right? Not a budget, like Chris says,
right?
Which I love, by the way, because it just sounds more abundant and flowy, and like, oh yes,
yeah,
and I want to spend my money because it's exciting. And mm-hmm. you get to track, like, so even my language, you get to track your money, get to know what's coming in every day, and be on top of that.
And you give every dollar a job. That's what a spending plan is, right? Every dollar gets a job, even if it means you put it into savings where it goes be paid to you for income, right? It's always getting a job. And to the question too is a lot of times people ask like, well, do I run them together, the numbers together, or do I keep them separate? Definitely keep them separate. Like your business should be different okay. from your personal. And especially if you have a business, you want to have a different business account, like a checking account separate from your personal. For liability purposes too, because if you ever get sued, oh man, like if you're mixing your money together, they can take anything that's in your personal assets, you know, whether it's yours, your spouse's or whatever, they can access it. So if you keep them separate and say, I got my business account here and I've got my personal here, and you keep them separate and you only pay yourself from there, but you're not just saying, well, I don't have money in my personal account, so I'll go spend from here, or I don't have money over here, so I'll spend from here. I mean, you got to be careful of that, because if you do that too much, if somebody does happen to sue you, they could win and take whatever you have.
Well, not only that, like that's, I feel like it's the worst case scenario, but a lot of times what made this really clear to me is like just realizing that you're embezzling from yourself and you're
yeah.
stealing from yourself, and that it's just not good practice. It's just you, I like things to be so easy that like mm-hmm. if I see easily this is what's coming into my business and this is what's coming out, it's not clouded by all the groceries and the gas,
yeah.
then I know what I'm making and I know like everything is separate and just easy. So it's easier, you know, easier for an accountant too.
Yep. So if you do that for a while, you start tracking your money for a while, after 6 to 12 months, you could probably start figuring out like, hey, here's what I typically spend. Should I cut down on this or not? Should I, what am I really spending? Because sometimes people create budgets, and the reason that they fail is because they have no clue what they're really spending, right? So they just guess. And when you guess, it's like, oh, well, I broke it. You know, it's like, no, you were wrong on the guess, you know? Mm-hmm. Instead, just track your money, see what's going on, see if you need to make adjustments. I think get rid of the things that aren't serving you, right? The things that are taking life or time or energy away from you, get rid of it. Those are destructive. Get rid of those. But the things that are productive, the things that are even enjoyable for your life, keep it. Like, don't go living on rice and beans. Like, you hear people that are fans of Dave Ramsey. Now, Dave Ramsey has his place, right? Like, he's all about living on rice and beans and paying off all your debt. He's great to get you to start tracking money if you haven't done it already. But so if you're a spendaholic, maybe you need him, right? But if you're more of the saver mentality already, don't follow that advice. Like, that's going to be more destructive, and it's such a place of scarcity. You want to stay away from that kind of advice, even though he gives good advice for, you know, people that are just starting out a lot of times. So just be careful of that, not to get sucked into being cheap, right? Because you can go cheap to the point where, like you said, especially if you're a nail tech or whatever you might be, you're trying not to spend money on anything, and that can be the very thing stopping you from growing your business.
Yeah, that's so good. That's awesome. So I don't know if you were about to get to this or not, but one of the questions that came in was like, how do you know how much to pay yourself? Because that feels like along the lines of what we're kind of talking about right here is like, okay, as you're talking about profit, that book Profit First, mm-hmm. and as you're talking about making sure that you are taking home money and not just reinvesting, like, how do you know how much to pay yourself?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a trick in the beginning, right? Because you may not be paying yourself at all, you know, when you first start out, or you might be paying yourself very little. And that's why it's key to know like what you would be spending on the expenses that you need to spend, right? And then you could take home the rest. You know, again, when you take home the rest, still, I would let the account balance in your business account grow little by little every month, even if it's like $10 or $20, right? Like, just don't touch it. You even move it to savings or something, but let it grow. Just get in the habit of having a little surplus in your business. But in the beginning, it's going to be a little bit of trial and error, you know, like, and And I mean, like, you might start really with a really low number, but then as you consistently start bringing in more and more money, you can start to bump that up more, you know, like I pay myself a salary now, but in the beginning I had a hard time because I'd have 1 month that was amazing and the next month sucked. Right. Or it was like this weird ebb and flow. Like it would be up and down, you know? And so when you have that,
you gotta figure out your own flow and you gotta like start to see the patterns, right?
Exactly. Once you start to see kind of like, okay, here's about on average what I'm making, and I'll go with a low average, right? So I'll go lower than what I'm actually paying myself. Then I'll say, great, that's my baseline. And then I'll say, or if I'm going to try to set a wage for myself every month, I'm going to say, all right, well, say that on average, it's like, $3,000 a month, right? And I need to have $1,000 a month of expenses. I might say, okay, cool. Maybe I'll pay myself $1,800. So even if that next, that 1 month goes down to 2,500 and you don't quite have 1,800, well, if it meant the other month you had 4,500, you know, you're like, ooh, I had more. Some people are like, yeah, take it all, right? And then they're like, oh, I have nothing for the next month, you know, when it goes lower. So when you have those high months, great, keep more in the business. You know, when you have the low months, you can start using some of the money in the business, you know, and you just try to find that nice little low average to pay yourself, you know, and then as time goes on, you adjust it. I mean, I've adjusted mine so many times, and I mean, even my salary right now, I pay myself $30,000 a month as a salary, but anything above that, like, you know, hundreds of thousands more dollars, because I pay majority is dividends. Because especially if you become a corporation, like an LLC or whatever, if you start making more than a few thousand dollars a month, that's your next step, is set up a corporation, right? Because now you don't want to pay extra in taxes. You want to keep more of your money, right? So one of the ways to save on taxes is I have a corporation that I have my little salary, I pay $30,000 a month, but then anything above that is profit. It's all dividends that I can pay myself whenever I feel like. And that I don't pay nearly as much tax on as my salary, you know? So salary is nice because if you're ever trying to get bank loans and stuff, they like you because they're like, oh, you have a salary, you're great, you know, because they hate it when you're a business owner. But if you have a salary coming in, and I only pay my salary, by the way, like 3 months out of the year. So I only pay that 3 months. And then the rest of the time, you know, I just pay myself dividends, you know, and that's it, you know.
I learned that so much from quarantine, like from the shutdown stuff and everything. Yeah. And then they gave us these loans for paycheck protection program. Uh-huh. And I was like, I should have been tracking this better, because I want to be able to show them so they could like help me out here. So that's a huge learning thing for me. It's like, okay, now I know that I need to be paying myself and tracking it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Awesome. So let's jump into some more of these questions, unless you were going somewhere else with that.
No, let's hear more questions. I want to make sure we hit them.
Okay. So valuing yourself the right way so that you can raise your prices was something that came up for people. Like, how do you raise your prices? We get really like, we're our own boss, and we're like, I'm the only one who's in charge of raising these prices. Like, how do I know what to do without scaring away the market, like your clients?
Yeah. You know, best thing to do, it's interesting because a lot of people run in that little trick. I learned, like, there's been studies done on this, right? Like, when people are presented three options, a cheap option, an average option, or an expensive option, the one that's bought the least, believe it or not, is the cheap option. So people do not want to pay the cheapest in prices because, well, think about this. Like, if you're at a store, right? Like, and I actually did this recently. I was looking at blenders to buy while we're snowboarding. We do a winter trip every year somewhere south for the winter, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we always buy a blender for the place because most Airbnbs don't have a good blender. And so I'm looking at different blenders and I see like the Ninja versus like the Cuisinart or whatever, right? Or, you name it, like all these different blenders. Well, when I look at a blender that I see it like at $20, I automatically think that's crap. It's going to break, right? Now, if I don't care, I'm like, let's let it break. But I know it probably won't even chop up my smoothies the way I want anyways, you know? So I'm going to go gravitate to at least the average price blender, at least 50, 60, or even closer to 100 or more, because I'm like, well, I want it to actually work. So even though it might work, just because it's cheaper, I assume it won't. And we do that psychologically, right? So if you have the cheapest prices, I would assume, oh, you must suck.
I love that so much, Chris, because I think I've never related that to the nail and beauty industry before. I feel like a lot of times we're just like confused with what to price ourselves and not remembering that our clients will value it more when they see that you are like one of the better and the best, and you become the best. I believe this so much of like, if you raise your prices, you will rise to that occasion. Like if you're like, I'm going to do a $1,000 set of nails on you, you better believe I'm going to like show up for that. You know what I mean? And it's like, you will be able to have more coming in so that you can get those trending nail supplies or beauty supplies or products for your clients, take home care and all those kinds of things. And you become that. Like, so why not aspire to that first instead of just continuously playing the price game of like, who can be the cheapest so that I get the client in my chair?
Yeah. It's always in stages, right? Like you always have to progress through the stages, just like you do like in any video game that we grew up with, right? Like you have to go through those stages. And if you're going to start anywhere, start at just the average price that everybody else is set at. Just start there. And then it, like you said, like as you start to gain experience, or you're already in that place, you already experienced, get up there, like reflect it. Because people, I do it all the time. I actually just hired a guy. I wanted to do hypnotherapy. I was like, I want to have somebody like get back to my childhood stuff. I went for the guy that's like the most expensive, because I'm like, and the guy that had the most reviews too. I'm like, he's got to be awesome. I'm like, he might be a jerk, but he seems like he's the best and his price is reflected. All right, I'm going to buy it, because I don't want to pay less money for somebody who might take me years to do the same thing he might do in 5 sessions, you know? So it's that. It's the same thing. People are looking for that. And you'll notice your clientele gets so much better. They won't nickel and dime you as much when you get up to that higher echelon. Like they want value. They want you to show it. But I'll tell you, value is such more the way you're being than it is of what you're doing. It's how you show up, right? Like when I became financially free, like when I didn't need money anymore because I have enough money coming in from investments and stuff, like I could just quit. That was in 2016, right? Like I got to that point, and when I didn't need money anymore, the ironic thing is that's when everybody wanted to pay me money. Mm-hmm. You know, that's when people wanted me more than when I didn't need them more. And it's the same thing is true. Like the best way you can attract business is not be desperate. Don't be an egotistical jerk. Like don't do that, because that also repels business. But you know, really like show up like, hey, I'm here to serve. I know I have amazing value and I know I can do great. I can make you look amazing and feel amazing, but I don't need your business. I don't need you to be that client, but I know I can serve you. I can show up that way. If you come with that attitude, people are like, yes, like, please, like, I want more of that.
That's so good. I love that so much. Let me look over a couple other questions. So you've touched a little bit on debt and you've even brought up Dave Ramsey. What are some ways that people can get out of debt? Like maybe they have some school debt and stuff, or lots of products and stuff they've been just putting on a credit card, lots of nail supplies and stuff, and they just really want to get rid of that heavy weight.
Well, first off is be profitable, right? Like if you have profit in your business, you have more money that you're making, you're like, okay, I have options. That's always the first step. Don't even worry. Don't let the debt consume you. Because the truth is that debt is actually not a good or a bad thing. Now, so many people paint it to be this bad, horrible thing. That's the banks. The banks want you to think it's horrible so you pay them back faster, because they want their money back faster, right? They're going to make interest anyways on that money, but they want you to pay them back faster. So banks and financial advisors, all these experts out there are full of crap. They're just trying to get you to do what they want. The truth is debt can be an amazing tool if it's used correctly. Like I remember when I first started my business, I got an SBA loan for $25,000. The monthly payment was $131 a month. So think about this, $25,000, I'm paying $131 a month. Now someone might think of the $25,000 and think, I gotta pay it off. I think that's $131 a month. If I can't make $131 a month by investing $25,000 in my business, I shouldn't be in business. Ideally, I should be making at least $1,000 or $2,000 a month from that $131 a month. So in essence, that's the best investment I have, is that bank's money, right? Because it's not my own. Same thing with credit cards. Now, it does affect cash flow. So here's an easy formula to use to figure out which one to pay off, if at all. So here's what you do. You take that one loan, and I know you have multiple. So take each loan, take the balance of that loan, divide it by the minimum monthly payment. The required monthly payment, not what you're paying, but the minimum monthly payment. And then you'll get a number I call a cash flow index, right? So say for example, you have two loans. You have a car loan that's $10,000 and you have a credit card that's $10,000. Now you only have enough money to pay off one of them, right? Let's say you have $10,000. you're like, well, what should I do? Now, Dave Ramsey all day long would say, pay off the credit card. He wouldn't even ask you the interest rate. He would just say, pay it off, right? Because it's a credit card. They're evil, right? Well, let's just say that credit card is $200 a month, but that car loan is $500 a month. Now, Andrea, I know you've been a business owner for a while, right? Looking at that credit card being $200 a month and the car loan being $500 a month, even though the car loan's cheaper interest, which one creates the most stress in your life?
The one that's like just bigger. Like I'm just like, it's so big and that.
Yeah, it's the bigger payment, right? So yeah, so instead of paying off the credit card, we would pay off the car loan to free up the $500 a month. Now you can always take that $500 and put it onto the credit card, the $200 a month, and you'll still pay it off fast. But the great thing is if you have a down month, right? Or a month with unexpected expenses that you didn't, that you didn't expect, obviously it's unexpected, right? If that happens, you're much happier not paying the $500 a month than not paying $200 a month. You'd much rather pay $200 than $500. That's the key. And so when I use that formula, that 10,000 divided by 500 is 20. On the other one, the credit card, 10,000 divided by 200 is 50. So the lower the number, the more you want to pay off. So the lowest number you pay off first, especially if it's below a 20, get rid of that sucker. If it's below a 30, get rid of it. Those are the ones you want to pay off first because they will create the most stress, right? But again, remember that debt is not always bad. It could, as long as you can create more with it, if you're using it for a productive purpose. But if it's like consumptive, you already had it, student loans. See, that's the thing. Student loans, most of the time I see them are like over 100. If it's over 50 or 100, don't even worry about it. Pay the minimum payment and stop freaking out. Like,
stop stressing. Yeah.
Yeah. Leave it alone. Like I had a student loan that lasted from, I graduated. Well, I didn't graduate. I actually dropped out of college with one class to go. So I'm a dropout. Right. But I left school and with student loans in like 2001, I didn't pay them off till 2017 because that index was so high. I'm like, why? And it's like 3%. Who cares? Now, I can make that money elsewhere, somewhere else. I can go and invest it, make more money. So I left it alone until finally it was like $3,000 left on the student loan. It was like $200 a month. I'm like, all right, fine. I'll pay it off. It's $200 a month with just $3,000. I'll do it. But I left it alone forever. In fact, I even deferred payments. If you have student loans, you can even defer payments. Put me in deferral. I don't want to pay it for the next few months. And you save up that money to put more money in your business to make more there. Then you'll have enough to pay off your student loans. So there's all kinds of ways you can be creative about it, but just know that don't worry about the interest rate as much. Just go for that index instead.
Awesome. I love it. So overall, the beliefs that we have about the money and the debt is what's really causing us so much stress.
it's always the stuff in our head, right?
Yeah.
You know, they're just numbers. That's all they have. They're just numbers on a computer screen or a piece of paper. They don't mean anything. And I'll tell you, like, it's not like I'm coming from a place like I always made a lot of money, right? Because when I first started as an entrepreneur, I barely made $1,000, $2,000 a month for the first couple of years, you know, and most of that went right back in the business to spend. But I'll tell you, like, you know, once I got to the point, you know, after I got financially free the first time in 2006, and then I was back in the rat race with the recession that hit, it was so nasty. I went over $1 million in debt, like actually in debt over $1 million. You know, you can imagine that felt pretty overwhelming going through that situation, but I got to the point of submission. I just realized, you know what, like stop letting the scarcity overtake me. Who cares if the collector calls keep calling me? I realized after a while, I'm like, they can't do anything to me. Like, yeah, they can keep calling. Eventually I called them my love you calls. Like when they kept coming in, I just said, you know what, like, hey, thanks for calling. They're like, yeah, we're here to collect a debt. Yeah, I know. Are you going to pay it? Not yet. Well, when are you going to pay it? No clue. All right. Well, you know, we're going to keep calling. I hope so, because my friends stopped calling when I started getting into financial trouble. So you're the only friends I got. So yeah, keep calling. Talk to you soon. You know, when I flipped it around to be more of a positive thing, I actually enjoyed the collector calls and I was eventually able to pay off over $1 million of debt. You know, I didn't have to go for bankruptcy or anything, but I had to flip it around. I had to stop wallowing in my misery and realize that, hey, this is not a bad thing. And they're just numbers. They can't throw me into prison. They can just keep calling and hounding me and make me feel guilty. But other than that, I should just get out and produce and make more of my business. And then that will solve those problems. And that's how I was able to dig out of $1 million+ debt hole.
So when you say that, you're talking about focusing on creating more value and like really, mm-hmm. That's where you're putting your energy, right?
Yeah. that's, if you remember nothing else about money, is that the key to making more money that demystified everything about money for me was that dollars follow value, right? That it's all about how you show up to add value, solve problems, or, you know, really just, you know, add value to people, right? Like really, like how do I show up to solve problems and give something that people are asking for, you know? And when I started to ask myself, what are people wanting? What do they want? You know, what do they keep complaining about that maybe I can have a solution to solve, right? When I started to solve problems that way, money became so much easier to make because it wasn't focused on me, me, me. It was focused on, well, what do you need? What do you want? When I did that, everything just got so much easier.
That's awesome. I love it. Okay, let's see if there's any other questions. And then also be thinking of anything that you have as a last little bit of advice, just helping people in the beauty industry to be able to have that more abundant flow in their life, whether it's about investing or having that cash flow. Any other parting advice for us as I just check in, if there's any other questions. I think there was a question on, no, okay, I think we got that one.
Yeah, so I would say this, like one, I would close, like just say that there's always hope, right? Like there's always hope. You're never too dumb or too far gone or anything to ever think that you can't be successful, right? Because I've known people that hated numbers that do make amazing money, right? I've known people that are great at numbers that don't make good money. So it doesn't mean anything. It's always about how do you show up? How do you show up as being the best version of yourself, right? And understand that money, it just allows you to create more and more impact. Like when I think about investing money in my business now, and you'll go through stages. At first, it's just trying to get the business off the ground. You're using your labor, you're using your time and energy at first. Pretty soon, you'll start to realize, okay, how can I leverage my money to now start working for me so I don't have to keep working for money, right? So first things first is you got to put that time and energy in. But as you start maturing in your business, start looking for ways to get your money working for you. You know, like when I, in my business, like I got myself down to where I'm just part-time, I'm semi-retired, but I make way more money than I did when I was working overtime hours. Like when I first met you, Drea, like I was working overtime hours, just trying to get that thing going, pumping out. I was making six figures, but I was working way harder then than I am now. And so through that patience and consistency, persistence, like not ever giving up, even though I wanted to give up so many times in my business, right? But just kept moving forward, finding those best activities in your business, like the ones that are like the best payoff for the least, you know, effort, right? I started realizing that I had to change up my clientele. I started focusing on a different clientele altogether and things got easier, you know, instead of having people, I'm like, oh, I really don't like this person as much, but I promised them I would help them. So I'll finish it up, you know, way different than people. I'm like, wow, I'm actually excited to talk to you. Like I'm excited to help you and serve you. It's a different game. So imagine what you want your business to really look like. Really build your business around your life and how you want your time to be. Like, ask yourself, like, hey, do I want to take time off or not? Like, map it out. Most people just think I have to just keep working, working, working in this little hamster wheel. But the truth is, you can get yourself out. But it does require more systems. I set up a calendar system to schedule times with me. That was way easier than me doing back and forth emails, right? Doing that saved me time and effort, you know? So technology can help. You know, also putting people in place. I'm hiring a marketing person right now, like to be an executive and also run my team so I can step away and be more the teacher, but not so much the person that's working inside my business, you know? And like I mentioned, I do investments outside of my business too. Like I have real estate paying me passive income every month. I've got other funds and things that are paying me all the time. And that means even if my business shuts down or COVID says I'm not necessary for whatever dumb reason, right? I'm okay. You know, and I think that's the next phase is as you get your business profitable, start looking for ways to invest outside of it and don't go do stupid stock market stuff. That's gambling. Don't bank on Bitcoin and all that kind of junk. Like there are better ways to make money, but that's kind of that next level. That's that next step when you do that.
That's so cool. I love it. I love that you talked about niching into your clientele a little bit more, so it's the people that you're loving. Because something that that's going on for me is, like, I know that I'm working with entrepreneur women and I'm doing their nails because I love those conversations, and they can work, they can come in during the day, they don't have to be these high school kids after school times. And I'm like, this has changed my business hour by hour by when I'm taking appointments. So really looking and designing your business around that and really having more fun at what you're doing and everything, thinking outside the box about things.
Absolutely.
Love it. So you guys are going to want to connect with Chris and listen to his podcast and learn all the things, because this is a guy who is amazing with money. And you've been retired. You've retired twice. I remember you put that on your podcast. Like, you're just like, I like to say, like, you're just commanding money and it's flowing for you. And I just want to master that skill myself. And so I love being around different people who are doing that. And Chris is definitely one of them. So Chris, tell us about how we can stay in contact with you, how we can learn more from you, all the things.
Yeah, you mentioned my podcast. You can follow on iTunes, Stitcher, or whatever you use. The Chris Miles Money Show is the name of the podcast. I know it's a hard one to remember, but I just think The Chris Miles Money Show is the podcast. And then my website, if you want to reach out, is just moneyripples.com. That's MoneyRipples.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Chris. Thank you for taking the time to chat with us today. And I hope to have you back on.
And I look forward to it.
Thank you so much for listening. You know what? If you got anything from this show, I would love if you reached out to me in my Instagram DMs and sent me whatever takeaways you got from this episode. I wanted to remind you to check out Chris's podcast as well. His podcast is called The Chris Miles Money Show, and then his website is moneyripples.com. And if you want to get something that I made for my clients, I wanted to offer to you. I have made this calculator that calculates your weekly, monthly, and yearly goals based off of how much you're charging your clients right now. It also calculates how much money you want to make in a day and how many clients you should be doing and how much your services should be charging if you want to make the goal that you want to make. So if you want to play with that calculator, plug in different things, see and play around with your goal and decide how much you want to pay yourself, like we talked about in the episode, send me a direct message in my Instagram inbox and I will send you the link to that calculator. And my Instagram is Drea Designs Beauty. Just like that, Drea, like Andrea, but just the D-R-E-A, Designs Beauty on Instagram. And I just love so much hearing from you guys. Thank you so much, everyone who has sent awesome, kind words. And thank you. And I will talk to you guys next time for another episode of Nail Tech Entrepreneur.